Someone asked me an interesting question this week. They said, you know, I've always wondered why a lot of preachers preach the lectionary. Is that easier than trying to think up Sunday after Sunday stuff to preach? And I said, well, you know, probably for me it is. I said, but the real reason that I preach according to the lectionary, for me, it's a spiritual discipline. If I'm in too much control of things, then there's too much me in the things. See, when we come here, it's about Jesus. It's about God. It's not supposed to be about the preacher. It's not supposed to be about us. It's supposed to be about a holy, loving God. And years ago, when I started preaching the lectionary, I was just absolutely astounded how that when something problematic or some crisis emerged in the life of the church or someone in the life of the church, within 2 or 3 weeks, there would be a scripture there that addressed that. And everyone knew I was preaching the lectionary. They didn't know I went looking for something because they knew that was just the next lectionary that came up. And I put more and more trust in that process. So on a weekly basis, I go to the scriptures and I say, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? What is it in these words that you would like to say? And that's my struggle. Now, fortunately, this week, it wasn't a real big struggle. We've got some weeks where you wonder about the people who put that lectionary together, why they put those. I think I remember Laurie asking that question in a study one time. How in the world do these fit together? And sometimes it takes a lot of praying to figure that one out. But this week was wonderful because it just seemed like such a great pattern, such a good mix of scriptures. And I get excited when I see that and I go to the Word and I try to read 2 or 3 weeks ahead, preparing my heart and mind for what God is saying in the lectionary readings. But here this morning we have the prophet Isaiah speaking to us from the 43rd chapter. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? God was promising to do something new and wonderful. But you know, we're creatures that don't like change. I mean, we kind of like new. It would certainly hurt the malls if we didn't like new. But if it means we've got to change our lives, if I'm in control and I buy the new, I feel okay about new stuff. But if new stuff's just happening to me, I'm a little more reluctant. Are you that way? Because we don't feel in control. But God was saying to his people, I'm going to do something really new, something really spectacular, something wonderful. It's about to spring forth. Are you ready for it? Can you perceive it? Do you know what's going to happen? And that's exactly what the people were experiencing that day outside the house. I don't know. I often stayed with Peter, so I don't know whether that was Peter's roof that got messed up that day or not. But that's what was happening in the hearts and minds of the people. They knew something was happening in this man, Jesus, that had never happened before. They'd never ever heard of it before, much less have seen it, and they wanted to be a part of it. So these four friends got their paralyzed friend, and they took him to Jesus and couldn't get close to him. People got there early. Wasn't a seat left. There wasn't standing room. But they were so committed to experience this new thing in the person of Jesus that they went up on the roof, tore the roof apart, and lowered their friend down through the roof. And Jesus said, He forgave his sins because he saw their faith. It wasn't all about the faith of the guy on the blanket or whatever they were lowing the down. Just the faith of the friends made a difference to Jesus. You know, I kind of wonder about those situations. Just like I was telling the kids, I wonder who had to fix the roof. I'm wondering about the people sitting near Jesus and little pieces of roof are falling down. I mean, I suspect if little pieces of roof were falling down around me, y'all wouldn't be paying all that much attention to me. You'd be worried about, well, now it's just falling around the preacher. Maybe he deserves it. I don't know. But you'd start wondering, well, is it going to start moving back over the congregation? I mean, you'd be so absorbed with the roof falling down, starting with little pieces and getting bigger. I mean, you know, they didn't have vacuums and stuff to suck it out of the way. You know, we do all kinds of stuff with construction now. I just sort of wonder about the practical situation sometimes. And, you know, I think it's okay to go to Scripture that way. You know, to really get into the real situation. What was it like before you realized four guys were up there? How much stuff fell on Jesus? Did it irritate him? Did it distract him from what he was saying? You know, I have questions like that all the time when I read Scripture. Do you? I just wonder about stuff. But Jesus saw their faith because, you see, they were ready for something new. They wanted something new in their lives. But, you know, when we read Isaiah, the first thing we hear is, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I don't know how long it's been since I started praying different up here, but a year or so. You know, been here 5.5 years, so it's hard for me to remember things. We were talking in the office this morning. Couldn't remember when something happened. But you know, I pray like this now. And I don't remember how long I've been doing that. But it dawned on me that I never remember the Scriptures said, pray like this. But that's what I grew up with. Maybe you did too. Get flooded with these pictures of the praying hands that you pray like this. But you know, that's a lot like us. I think a lot of times when we go to the Lord with prayer, we're just grabbing hold. We want something. And it's like a little child in the family that wants something, they'll grab on to you. I mean, you know, what's really neat about like 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, you know, they'll just come up and want something, and they'll grab hold of your leg, and you can just walk around with a kid on your leg. I mean, they want your attention, and they won't let go. And I've done that with my children and my grandchildren. They just grab on and hold on and because they want something. And I think a lot of times when we go to God in prayer, maybe the reason we pray like this, I mean, I notice the more I pray like this, the harder I'm praying. You know, that's sort of gentle. But then I get like this, it's kind of like the more I want it in here. But you know, it reminds me of a story I heard about how they catch wild monkeys. And you may have heard of this. They learned that if they put fruit, a banana or an apple or something like that, in a jar that had a mouth about the size that a monkey could get their hand in there, and tie that jar to a tree or something with a rope, they could come back tomorrow and the monkey's there because they won't let go of the fruit they got on the inside. And they even played around with this. You know, they'd throw a banana right near them. But they weren't going to let go of that when they had in their hand to take that banana that was over there. They would get captured with their hand stuck in a jar tied to a tree rather than let go of what they had in their hand. See, God says, I'm doing a new thing. I've got something wonderful prepared for you. I'm going to do something amazing, amazing in all human history. Are you prepared for it? Or is your hand still stuck in a jar holding on to what you got because you're afraid to let go? And that's why I changed the way I pray. that so many of my prayers were just hanging on to God for what He could give me. I was just holding on like my grandchildren will hold on to my leg when they want my attention. Instead of opening up my hands and say, okay, Father, I expect you to give me something. I've got open hands. I'm waiting for what you want to give me. In the lectionary reading from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1st chapter, I think verse 18 and following, there is a beautiful, beautiful verse there. It says, all of the promises of God find their yes in Him, Christ Jesus. I started wondering, I wonder how many promises there are. Went on the internet. I've got a book that's still packed up of all the promises of God. And I don't know whether it's written by the same guy, but there's a guy named Finnis J. Drake, The 500 Promises of God. And there's a guy named Reverend Bob Stevens who has a website you might want to tap into sometime called The Promises of God. That's easy to remember, isn't it? The Promises of God. You go do a Google search. And he's just got listed all of these things. And here's what Bob says. This page is designed to let you know that God has made certain promises to you. Not all of the promises are listed, but I'll keep trying. My goal is to have every promise of God listed on this page before I go to be with the Lord. So I suspect he thinks it's more than 500. Now imagine that. Over 500 promises of God from His Word directed to you and me. Directed to His people, directed to His world. And every one of those promises find their yes in Christ Jesus. And you know what excites me? I don't know whether you've noticed it, but I have, and a couple of other people have come up to me and shared this. Something has happened in the life of this church since January 1. I don't know what it is. I hope it's an answer to prayer. But I feel something good. I feel something wonderful. I feel a spirit here that I have longed for. I'm a little surprised. It's kind of like, where's this coming from? But I don't want to get hung up in that. I want us to enjoy it. I think God has something amazing in store for us. I am expecting, I am waiting with open hands to receive the promises of God. Do you want to receive the promises of God? Do you want God to do something amazing and wonderful right here at St. Matthew's? Would you like to see that happen? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it would be like to have something so amazing happening, people got to come check it out? And I feel the beginning of something wonderful. And I don't know how to explain it, but I'm not going to analyze it to death. I'm just going to say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Something is happening in the life of our church. Give us more. You've got over 500 promises. We want every one of them blessed right here. We want them just blessed, so we'll have to go to Google to understand what we've been blessed with, because every one of the promises of God find their yes in Christ Jesus. Those four men tearing through the roof knew that a promise of God was met in Christ Jesus. They might not even have known how to read, but they knew, they sensed something special was happening in the man Christ Jesus, and they were going to get their friend just as close to it as they could, and they received such a blessing that day. If they're the ones that had to repair the roof, I don't suppose that was a bit of a problem to them, because they had experienced the blessings. They had been able to see what Isaiah promised. They weren't so busy holding on to the things of the past. But you know who couldn't see it? Remember what Dawn read? Just as soon as Jesus forgave that man his sins, the scribes and the Pharisees couldn't see the wonder of God because they were busy holding on to the stuff of the past. They had put it all in a nice, neat little package. Belonged to them. They were in charge of it. And this man, Jesus, was challenging them what they thought they already had, even though it was the most wonderful thing that the world had ever seen. They were like those monkeys out in the jungle. They weren't going to let go, even though they were a captive to what they were holding in their hand, to open up another hand and receive what Jesus had to offer. Now, I believe something great's happening in the life of this church that I don't fully understand, but I want it to keep growing. I want it to keep happening. I want it to just roll until something amazing happens in this church and in this community, because God is fulfilling His promises in you and me. And I hope no one is so busy holding on to the past that we don't have a hand free to reach out to the future goodness and promises of God. Because He wants to bless us. He wants to touch our lives. He wants to change us and transform us. But we have got to welcome it with open arms. Do you want the promises of God answered in your life and in the life of this church? Well, open your hearts and your minds. But open your hands as if you expect Him to put something right there in front of you. And I believe He will. The very love of God. That we'll start loving each other in such an amazing way that people will come here to figure out what's going on with those people. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Let us pray. Gracious Father, help us to perceive that You're always doing a new thing, that You're always creating and recreating. You want to change and transform our lives. Those of us who have a good life, You want to give us a better life. Those of us who are struggling and don't have such a good life, You want to give us a better life. That it's Your nature to create and recreate and to give. And Lord God, we just beg You to teach us to open our hearts and our minds and our hands to receive all of the goodness You want to pour out upon us. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the yes to every single one of Your promises made throughout history. Let us say yes to Jesus. Amen.